If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
Hello, snack lovers. Curb your cravings with My Mochi ice cream. Imagine a scoop of rich, creamy, premium ice cream in your favorite flavor. Now imagine that scoop wrapped up in the sweetest, softest dough known to mankind. That's My Mochi ice cream. Sweet, chewy, cool, and creamy, all in one bite. It's quite possibly the most joyfully chill sensation you've ever had in your life. My Mochi ice cream comes in tons of fabulous flavors, like strawberry, mango, cookies and cream, and double chocolate. Each box of My Mochi ice cream has 6 perfectly portioned mochis that are about 80 calories each, and it's also gluten-free. You can find My Mochi at Target or visit MyMochi.com to find a grocery store near you. That's MyMochi.com. Discover the joyfully chill sensation of My Mochi ice cream today.
At a roundtable event in West Virginia today, President Trump tossed his prepared remarks in the air because he said they would have been boring. Hey, man, what are you doing? Don't you know we're dying for you to be boring? Just for one day. Just one day. I would love to come home one day and hear Rachel Maddow say, well, I got nothing. Here's some cat videos.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth interviews Scott Thompson of Kids in the Hall. Plus, Scott continues the conversation backstage exclusively for this podcast. But first, a closer look.
President Trump has floated the possibility of replacing his embattled attorney general with his embattled EPA administrator. Meanwhile, he's breaking his silence on the Stormy Daniels story. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. Despite Trump repeatedly bending over backwards in every possible way to kowtow to Russian President Vladimir Putin, Trump this week insisted that he has actually stood up to Putin more than any previous president.
How are you going to deal with President Vladimir Putin? Is he as your enemy or someone you can have dialogue with?
Well, I think we'll be able to have great dialogue, I hope. And if we can't, you'll be the first to know about it. Nobody's been tougher on Russia than I have. And you can, and I know you're nodding yes, because everyone agrees when they think about it.
Dude, she's not nodding yes. She's banging her head against a wall. Nobody's tougher on Russia than me. Ugh. Trump's tough with Russia the way I'm tough with my wife. I'm taking out the garbage because I feel like it, not because you told me to. When I get back, I insist that we watch a House Hunters we've already seen. That's my choice. So, Trump says no one's been tougher on Russia, which is true, as long as you don't count his initial refusal to impose congressional sanctions on Russia, his refusal to blame Russia for election hacking, the time he met privately with the Russians in the Oval Office and gave them classified information, or the time he literally invited Putin over to the White House.
President Trump appears to be welcoming the Kremlin back into the Oval Office in the quote-unquote not-too-distant future. The White House confirms President Trump and Putin discussed the possibility of a meeting at the White House.
Now, the White House confirms the gist of the conversation, but tonight says the invitation was casual and not a formal invitation for official talks.
How do you have a casual conversation with the leader of an adversarial nation a couple weeks after they were accused of using nerve gas on an ex-spy on British soil?
Hey, Vlad, baby, it's Don. How's it hanging? Yeah. I hear you gassed a spy. You got a lot of nerve. I'm playing. I'm just playing with you, Vlad. When we getting lunch, bro?
Of course, all this comes amid an escalating investigation of the Trump campaign's ties to Russia. Now, Trump has been upset for months that his Attorney General Jeff Sessions recused himself from the Russia investigation. He wants someone who could exert influence over the probe and potentially shut it down, which is why it was alarming today when CNN reported that Trump floated replacing Sessions with Scott Pruitt, the head of the Environmental Protection Agency, as recently as this week. Trump just keeps moving staffers around. It's like he's rearranging deck chairs in the Titanic after it already sunk. He moved John Kelly to chief of staff, Ronnie Jackson to veteran affairs. Now he wants to move Pruitt to attorney general. Our only hope is that he gets carried away and accidentally replaces himself. I move Kelly to chief of staff, to Pruitt and attorney general. I made a move I'm very excited about. I move Pence to president. Oh, no. Oh, no. What's left for me? Janitor. Trump, of course, is worried about the investigation because several of his closest associates have already been indicted. And this week, we also learned that special counsel Robert Mueller got permission from the Justice Department to investigate Trump's former campaign chairman, Paul Manafort, for allegedly colluding with the Kremlin.
In a classified August 2nd, 2017 memo, Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein tells Mueller he should investigate allegations that former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort committed a crime by colluding with Russian government officials with respect to the Russian government's efforts to interfere with the 2016 election.
I gotta say, I'm not surprised they're investigating Paul Manafort for possibly colluding with the Russians. I mean, look at him. He has resting crime face. He looks like a guy who gives you instructions in Grand Theft Auto. I need you to get this envelope to Sergey. So the president's former campaign chairman, already under indictment, is also under investigation for possibly colluding with Russia. But what about Trump himself? On Tuesday night, the Washington Post reported that Mueller told Trump's attorneys the president remains under investigation but is not currently a criminal target. Now, that's not really a meaningful distinction. You can easily go from being the subject of an investigation to being the target of that investigation. And for their part, Trump's allies seem concerned that this might actually be a ploy by Mueller to try to lure Trump into agreeing to an interview and getting him to say something that would make him a criminal target.
The special counsel reportedly tells Trump's legal team that the president is not a criminal target in the Russia probe. Could this whole sordid mess finally be winding down?
He's not a target now, but we've just been told by Trey Gowdy and others, all you do is make one mistake, something contradicts, you become an instant target.
Sounds like good news, but some in the White House worry Robert Mueller may be laying a trap for the president.
It's a trap they're trying to lure the president into to get him to sit down and talk with the investigators.
Maybe it is a trap, but in fairness, it's not too hard to trap Donald Trump. He seems like a guy who would put out mousetraps and then 30 seconds later go, oh, wow, free cheese. Ah! Of course, just because you're not yet a criminal target in a scandal doesn't mean you can't still be implicated in that scandal, as we've learned in the saga over Trump's alleged hush payment to porn star Stormy Daniels. Trump and his lawyer, Michael Cohen, have been accused of orchestrating an illicit payment to silence Daniels and even physically intimidating her. And apparently, that's not the end of it. Daniels' lawyer said yesterday there's more to the story, perhaps more than we as a nation or even as human beings are ready for.
You say there's more to her story than what we've already heard. Like what?
Well, when she sat for that interview, it actually lasted over 2 hours in length, the actual interview. And then the portion that the American public saw was only about 14 or 16 minutes. I mean, for instance, she can describe the president's genitalia in great detail.
Great detail? I think you mean horrific detail. I don't want to think about Donald Trump's penis because if I do, something tells me I'll never be able to eat hot fries ever again. Also, she can describe it in great detail. You know what that means. They did it with the lights on. I bet the reason 60 Minutes didn't air that portion of the interview is because this happened to Anderson Cooper when he heard that description. Now, for a president who will tweet about almost anything, he's remained curiously silent on the Stormy Daniels story. But late this afternoon, he weighed in for the first time during a Q&A with reporters on Air Force One, where he insisted incredibly that he didn't know about the payment his lawyer, Michael Cohen, made to Daniels.
Mr. President, did you know about the
What's with the lighting? You know you're embarrassed by a story when you'll only talk about it in the dark. He heard the storm he could describe his genitalia in great detail, so now he's trying to hide his entire body. Also, you really expect us to believe you didn't know your personal lawyer wired $130,000 to a porn star you yourself took a picture with? Can you imagine what he would say about Stormy describing his genitalia? I don't know if that description is right. It's been years since I've seen it myself, so I... But probably hot fries. Ultimately, we don't know where the Rush investigation will end up, but the more we find out about what Trump's inner circle was doing in the closing months of the campaign, the more obvious it gets. I'd ask if Trump should be impeached, but as Trump himself put it...
I know you're nodding yes, because everyone agrees.
This has been A Closer Look. Our guest is one of the members of The Kids in the Hall. He's currently on tour with his show, Après le Deluge. Oh, I'm going to get in trouble for that. The Buddy Cole monologues. And his book, Buddy Babylon, the autobiography of Buddy Cole, is available now. Please welcome to the show, Scott Thompson, everyone.
Thank you.
I'm so happy to have you here.
I'm thrilled to be here, especially because I'm alone and the other four kids in the hall aren't here.
That's true. Last time you had to share the couch with your four old colleagues.
I did, and I felt that they got in the way of our chemistry.
Yeah, I did too.
Didn't you think so?
Yeah.
Weren't you just going, can't we get rid of those other guys?
Yeah.
Because I have to be honest. Can we get this out of the way?
Let's please.
I've had a crush on you for a long time.
Oh, I'm so...
You don't get enough credit for your looks.
Oh, thank you.
Because people just talk about your wit and your warmth and your intelligence, but they don't focus on what really matters, that you're handsome, but not too handsome. You know what I mean? It's the perfect mix because you're so handsome, but I can still keep my wits about me.
That's good. Well, we need your wits about you. Oh, my goodness. That makes me feel great, because my wife hasn't had a crush on me in years.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I need to talk to her.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
So, Buddy Cole was an iconic character from Kids in the Hall, did monologues.
Yes.
But this is all, the show went off the air in 95. This is all new monologues, all material you've written since then.
Yes.
Were there things, particular topics, that you were excited to address as Buddy Cole today in 2018?
Yes. I think the thing that I was most excited about addressing was the Me Too phenomenon.
Okay.
You know, and because I can't say too much about it, but I am just going to say, I'm just glad we don't call hashtags pound signs anymore. Because I don't think pound me too would have had quite the same impact.
Yeah, I think you're right.
You know what I mean?
I think it would have been less. I think that would have been very less impactful.
A little less? That didn't hurt, did it? And we're off.
And we're off. I want to ask about your, you went to drama school. Obviously knew you wanted to do this for a very long time.
Yes.
You got kicked out of drama school?
Yes, I did.
For what reason?
Disruptive behavior.
And was that fair?
Yes.
Okay. What were you doing?
So many things.
Okay.
There's so many things I did. One of the worst things I did was I had a teacher that didn't like me, and he was on his fourth marriage, and he was with a younger woman, and he was very insecure. And she taught ballroom dancing, and then she came to teach us. And of course, when I was in drama school, we wore just tights, so it was just all tights and package. And I'm just saying, she couldn't keep her eyes on my face.
Yeah.
And she flirted with me, and I flirted back, and we kind of made a fool of her. And I kind of, even though I'm gay and I wasn't that interested, I thought it'd be fun to kind of make out with his wife in front of him.
Oh, my God. So you made out...
I didn't make out with her. I just dipped her probably a little too deeply.
Okay, gotcha.
I've been accused of that since, too.
Oh, yeah. I want to talk... So this book that you're re-releasing, you wrote this 20 years ago.
Yes.
Do you feel like there's a different audience now for a book about an openly gay character that there wasn't in 1998?
Absolutely. Because before, I think people, especially straight men, they couldn't say that they liked me too much because it would kind of impugn their sexuality. But I also think that it's such a Canadian book, a lot of people couldn't like it too much because they'd be accused of being Canadian.
Oh, right.
That's the real issue.
Right. It was Canadianphobia.
A little bit. And now, you know, people like Canada. Canada's kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we've got like a gay prime minister and everything. Oh. Well, I'm not saying he's actually gay. I mean, I don't think he doesn't have sex with men, but he definitely went to more gay prides than I did last year.
That's a good indicator.
That's it.
A very good.
I mean, all you have to do is go to one.
you were not originally the kids in the hall. They were kind of already a group before you joined up. How did you find your way into that troupe?
Well, that's a good story.
Great.
They were doing a midnight show, and I went with my friend Darlene to see this group. She said I would love them, and we went, and there was like eight of them at the time, and I fell in love, like, immediately. And I looked under my seat, and there was a donut taped there. And I was like, what the hell? And then I noticed there were donuts taped everywhere. And I thought, oh, this is probably part of a bit.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take the donuts and ruin their bit. So I grabbed all the donuts, and then I just started whipping it at them on stage. And I think it was a calculated risk, because I thought, they need to, it's like a pretty girl. You know, right? You do anything for a pretty girl when you're young.
I've chucked donuts at some of the hottest women in New York City.
So I took a calculated risk, and they were like, who the hell is the ass throwing donuts at? It's me. You don't know who I am yet, but eventually I'm going to change your lives. So,
wow.
And then after the show, Bruce came up to me and goes, are you the ass that was throwing donuts at us? And I was like, yeah, it's me.
I can't believe that worked.
And it worked.
Yeah.
And it worked. And then later, Mark saw me in an improv with my
Mark McKinney.
Yep. Love Cats. And I did an improv where I wouldn't say it's my highest point, but I grabbed a mime turd out of a toilet, and then I held it up like Yorick's skull, and I did a monologue to it. And Mark turned to Bruce and said, we need that guy.
When did you know that Kids in the Hall was a success? What was the point? Was it on TV for a couple of years?
Or? I knew we were a success when you wrote the foreword to our biography.
Oh, that's very... I'm very excited about this. There's a Kids in the Hall book that Paul Myers, Mike Myers' brother, wrote. Yep. And I did write the foreword, and I'm very excited to read the book because I haven't yet. Are you excited that people are going to revisit the history of Kids in the Hall?
Yeah, very much. Yeah. And also, I'm excited about reading it because then I'll remember what I did.
Yeah.
Because there's some of those years are a little blur.
Are you worried that the other four members might remember things differently than you and maybe paint you in a worse light?
Yes, very much so. Very much so.
Well, that's only fair.
It is only fair.
I want to ask about, you also have a documentary about a punk band you were in.
Yes, my friend Paul Bellini and I, he was a writer in the Kids in the Hall, he's the towel guy. We were in a punk band at the same time that I met the Kids in the Hall.
What was the name of your punk band?
Mouth Congress.
Mouth Congress.
Yes. Which is like a term from the Kama Sutra, which is the Hindu book of sex.
Yes.
And it means oral sex.
Okay, gotcha. So Mouth Congress is a much nicer way of saying it.
Really? We were going to call it and then we said, no, Mouth Congress is a little classier.
Yeah. Although I wouldn't... Yeah.
You think that we made a mistake?
No, I just say there's something incredibly Canadian about having a punk band and picking the nicer of the two.
I think you're right, yeah.
It's like the Ramones would have been Mr. Ramone.
Yeah. Yes, that's true. You're right. Master Ramone. Ramones Esquire.
Ramones Esquire. What were some of the Mouth Congress songs? What was the hardest Mouth Congress song?
The hardest?
Yeah. Well, you were a punk band.
Yeah, we were. Well, I took my clothes off a lot. And I monitors a lot.
You like the
not monitor lizards. That's like sound monitors.
No,
you can't a monitor lizard because they have bacteria in their mouth, right? No, you can't. People don't, and it's a mistake. They're not poisonous, but if you put your in their mouth, you will get deadly bacteria.
That is so humble. I do, yeah.
You know that.
No, that's, like, again, deadly. You've always been, as far as comedians go, you've always been at the forefront of lizard facts. No one, when you said monitor, no one thought you meant monitor lizards.
They did?
And I don't think they
because
did.
I know people call them Komodo dragons, generally.
Yeah, if you'd have said I would,
They were thinking hall monitors.
That's what they were thinking. But also, don't do
that. And they are also full of bacteria. There are so many hall monitors out there. You can't imagine. And their mouths are just frothing with bacteria.
Well, I think we're going to leave it there. Scott Thompson, everybody. Catch the Buddy Cole Monologues in Boston at once, April 5th through the 7th, and in Denver, the Oriental Theater, April 9th.
Hey, this is Kevin from Late Night. We are backstage with Scott Thompson. Hey, Scott.
Hi there. How you doing?
Great. Thanks for taking a couple more questions backstage here.
Were the hall monitors upset what I said? I did portray them as like bacteria-filled wraiths.
Yeah, they're not speaking to anybody. They've walked out. They're gone. So this is sort of an exciting time. You have a lot of projects sort of in the works. Besides the Buddy Cole Monologues, you're doing stand-up, which is great. And you have a comedy album coming out.
Yes, my first comedy album.
And how has it been doing stand-up as yourself as opposed to a character like Buddy?
Well, stand-up is a little more... I wouldn't say I'm freer, because I'm a little sloppier with the actual construction. And with Buddy, I'm very anal about the words. And stand-up, you know, it still has to be the right punchlines and all that. But I play around a lot. And Buddy, Buddy's such a wordsmith. I'm very, very obsessed with every tiny word. Mm-hmm. But that's about and then also Buddy... In a way, I mean, I don't pull punches as myself, but Buddy, but the main difference is I don't have the same control over myself as he does. Mm-hmm. Like he's quite a stoic, and his emotions are kept in check, and my emotions are very messy. Yeah. So that's about the big difference.
It is sort of based on your life when you're on stage as yourself.
Yes, I don't really get into politics or any of that stuff. It's mostly. Human nature and my own life. Yeah, pretty much human nature, which I find the most fascinating because it doesn't really change. Mm-hmm. And that's what I like.
Well, it's great because we talked about the book that you wrote 20 years ago with Paul. And you were saying that there's a difference in the way people perceive it because homophobia was so present in the 90s. And now
it was literally official. Like, in fact, you were expected to be homophobic. It's only the last 5 years that there was a tipping point reached. Where suddenly society went, I don't think it's cool to be homophobic. Mm-hmm. And that's only really, really recently. Yeah. So I don't know what happened, but mostly it would be like, I don't feel that any longer. And that's like being released. I feel like I've been released from prison.
Do you write every day?
Yes, whether it's I write something every day. Yeah. Yes.
Do you have a certain place that you do it, or is there a process that you have?
My process is very embarrassing. Uh-huh. So
what is it? Well, can you talk about it?
Or? I can't really, because there's so many weird rituals that I do.
Gotcha.
I'm kind of embarrassed to talk about.
Okay.
Let's just say there's some weird that I do to get into the mood.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's many ways to access, you know, the muse. Uh-huh. Let's just leave it at that.
Sure. Great.
I'm not saying you're thinking, oh, it's all like hookers and heroin. No, I'm not getting into that. It's more like balloons and enemas and...
Tights from drama school.
Yes.
You were kicked out of drama school for disruptive behavior. And you've always been sort of a disruptor.
I have. And then when they threw me out of school, I really got disruptive. My classmates didn't want me thrown out. So me and a couple of friends got really drunk. And we went back to the studio, where our acting studio. And I had a pair of scissors. And I scratched my name on the floor saying Scott Thompson was here. I was angry.
Yeah. Well, you were saying that your plan wasn't to be a comedian. It wasn't until you saw Kids in the Hall.
I think if I was a young person today, I'd probably have gone into stand-up.
Yeah.
But it wasn't possible for my generation, particularly the HIV generation. I mean, gay men were such garbage when I first started out. And then when I saw, and I just wanted to be an actor, like a serious actor. I went to drama school. I studied Shakespeare and Bertolt Brecht and all that. But my real dream was to be an actor who was funny on talk shows. Mm-hmm. Someone like Burt Reynolds, who I always thought was a great movie star. And he was such a great talk show host. Yeah. And that was my dream. I'm going, oh, I want to be hilarious on talk shows and serious in the movies.
Yeah.
So one thing came true, sort of.
Well, I wanted to talk to you about growing up. I was reading that you were fascinated with dictators and you had a scrapbook of African dictators.
Well, they weren't dictators. Okay. They were freedom fighters. But when I was a kid, and I think a lot of it was a stand-in for gay liberation because you couldn't really talk about that because I had five brothers. They would have killed me. You can't be openly gay when I was a kid. So I had racial confusion. I thought I was, I told everybody that I was black. So, but I was very interested in like South African liberation and Mozambique and Rhodesia. So I had a scrapbook with like Kenneth Kaunda and Kenyatta and Jomo and Mandela. And those were my heroes. But then the other part is I also was fascinated by dictators because I was always fascinated by toxic masculinity. I find it very hot. And I think we've lost that. And I think we need to remember that toxic masculinity is super hot. So I like right now, it's wrong, but I would Putin in a second. And it's nothing to do with politics. I just like a mean daddy. And I was so obsessed with dictators. Like I was obsessed with Osama bin Laden before. I mean, he wasn't even a dictator. He was just a madman, but I like madmen. And then I was obsessed with Uday Hussein. So it wasn't just dictators, it was also their sons. And I thought he was hot. Now this is before he became synonymous with evil, when he was just a hot dictator's son. Uh-huh. I was so obsessed that I named my cat Uday. And this is like 19 years ago. He just died. I had to put him down.
I'm sorry.
Well, I had to put him down because he killed a soccer star that didn't win. So he had his favorite team, and they didn't win, and he scratched their eyes out. So I said, you got to go down. You know what I mean? I know you're just beautiful. You're just one hairy, hairy, beautiful beast, but you've That's one, you know what I mean? That you took his eyes out. Funny because when they were looking for Uday Hussein, remember, my cat had gone missing at the same time, like in some sort of weird kismet. And I remember very clearly when they were on television, it was all about looking for Uday. I'd be out there like going, Uday, Uday, come to daddy, supper. So that's it. But my message is, you just got to keep politics out of the bedroom. And once again, I really hope that I can reclaim toxic masculinity as a force for good.
Kids in the Hall reunion, do you guys ever talk about that?
Yes. Yeah. We want it so badly. Yeah. So
I think everybody would love that.
I hope so. That's what we want. I was saying that earlier, I would drop anything in a moment for a Kids in the Hall reunion, even if I was holding a newborn baby. I'd drop it on its head.
Well, maybe book will, you know, force the conversation and people to actually... You've done some reunion shows, though, right?
We're always touring and stuff. Right. And if I have to be the one to make this happen, I will gladly do that.
That'd be great.
Because I really, really want... I really... Especially the way things are today.
Yeah.
I just want to weigh in.
Besides Buddy Kohler, are there sketches that you'd love to bring back?
Just the character. There's lots of... Because the funny thing is, when we were young, when I was young, a lot of my characters were older people. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had no... But... Mm-hmm. Excuse me. So a lot of my characters, I'm sort of their age now. Mm-hmm. So I'd love to be able to play them actually being their age. Yeah. And also so much has happened to me that has maybe I would say deepened my comedy. And I think all five of us have been through quite a ride, and we still love each other and we still have the chemistry we've always had. Yeah. And I would just love a chance to make something again.
Yeah.
I just really want to play characters again.
Well, I hope that happens.
I do too.
Scott, thank you again for being here and taking some more time to talk backstage here.
Thanks very much.
Okay. Thanks.
Want more Late Night with Seth Meyers? Be sure to follow the handle @LateNightSeth on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. You can also watch full episodes of Late Night at LateNightSeth.com or on the NBC app. And please tell your friends who are fans of Seth Meyers to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
Murder on My Mind, a new podcast available exclusively on Wondery Plus, explores the circumstances leading up to the murder of two young men and the mistrials of the man accused of killing them. Up-and-coming rapper YNW Melly gained notoriety in the hip-hop world for his shocking lyrics and criminal exploits. When two of his best friends were gunned down in a drive-by shooting, investigators suspected the young rapper staged the scene. But after not one, but two trials that ended in hung juries and new evidence that may place YNW Melly at the scene of the crime, his trial has been paused indefinitely. With countless twists and turns, Law & Crime covers all angles of the case and begs the question, is this young artist the victim of a witch hunt or a silver-tongued devil who's evil to the core? Listen to Murder on My Mind exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.